Welcome, welcome. You're listening to our podcast, Two Massage Therapists and a Microphone. My name is Mark. I'm a registered massage therapist, registered kinesiologist here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We got a real cool guest sitting on our couch. We missed last weekend.
We did, but it was for good reason. We were away in Calgary promoting the Canadian Massage Conference with the entire Massage Therapy Media team, and we attended LymphyCon.
Calgary's cool.
Calgary is cool, but...
No, I mean, it's cold.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? It was really not that bad. I think we brought the warm weather in.
It's fucking cold.
But my lips are cracked and dry, and anyone who listens regularly knows every time I go out west, I either come home sounding like this, or my skin is lizard-like. The dry air and I do not get along super well.
How would you have responded to this? Cool.
Okay.
The four of us, there's four of us on our massage therapy media team, so we decided, let's get an Airbnb. Cool. Nice little place, maybe three bedrooms. It's like a stack townhouse.
It was a stack townhouse.
Three bedrooms upstairs, one bedroom downstairs. Cool. And one person, one of our team, hates like artificial heat.
Okay.
So we're all fucking freezing. Like it's uncomfortably cold the whole time.
Right.
Like, that's not cool, right?
Is that cool by you? That's not cool, but why wouldn't that person stay downstairs while the three of you were...
The whole house is cold. She's like, don't turn the heat on. She's like, I hate the sound of a furnace. Don't turn the heat. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You're 25% of this. The rest of us are legitimately uncomfortable.
Right. Okay. So couldn't the three of you guys go upstairs, put the heat on, and her downstairs with the window open?
There was only one thermostat.
Yeah.
So that was the thing, is she wanted to keep the place most of the time was at 19 degrees Celsius.
19.
Yeah.
And
in Calgary,
we were
in March.
Cold.
That's insane.
So
like, it's not comfortable.
Her defense was, well, you guys can just like put on extra sweaters. You can have the blanket on you. You can put socks on. But if I'm sweating and really hot and whatever,
go
like,
outside.
No. Yeah. Three against one.
Thank
Sorry.
You, right?
Done.
Yeah. So I was like, the next time we come out here, guys, I'm getting my own place. Like, I don't want to step out of the shower.
Yeah.
And I'm freezing.
Yeah.
Was there
a shed?
I mean, there was a garage.
That would have been a good resolution.
She could have gone there.
It's a good call.
Right?
Where the hell were you the whole
time? I know.
Motherfucker.
Problem solved.
Call me next time, yeah.
Well, hey, that kind of like segues into why we're here. This is technically...
Do we need a problem solver? Is that what?
Yes, absolutely. But no, this is technically... a Conversations with Clients episode, but it's also like a Hanging with Entrepreneurs episode because our guest, whose name is Agnes, is both a client of mine and is going to step into the world of entrepreneurship. So currently, she is a hairstylist. She is my hairstylist. And she's currently
I need one of those. Can
an
you
employee.
Give me mine too, please? Look at this. I only have two forms of hair. Ready? It's bald. It's like I shave it all off.
Yeah.
Or stupid.
it's bald or stupid. That's the only.
Those are the only two options.
Okay, I gotta help you out. Then
it's either something that's really stupid.
Yeah.
Or it's just shaved.
Because you need some time to.
Well, I just mean what I just do with my hair is just always like this. It's just stupid. I recognize it's stupid.
That's not stupid.
That's a look. But I think it's stupid. So it's either something that's really dumb or it's just all shaved.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so bad. Yeah. Well, he always
asks
me.
I don't mind
me.
It. I enjoy the stupid, but go ahead.
I can't tell if he like believes me or not, but he'll say to me, does my hair look stupid? I say no.
Yeah.
But then he'll ask me again.
You know,
but then sometimes he asks me with tricky wording so that what I say that makes it sound like I'm saying it's stupid.
We drop off our children at school and then a 9-year-old boy runs by me with the same haircut.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh fuck, I got the haircut of an elementary school kid.
It's
which I don't
all
mind.
All good.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
How long is your hair?
Oh, it's so long.
It probably goes down about here or so.
That's great. If you go to a concert, you leave it down. That's another look.
That's a whole other piece. Yeah.
Well, let me continue to introduce our guest then. So her name is Agnes. She is
excited.
A hairstylist.
Her hair,
currently
excited.
Employed at a salon, a nice salon. And I mean, I've followed you through a couple of different salons. And more recently, we've been chatting because I've now reached the status where I can like get my hair done on her off hours in her condo. With her kids eating chicken and rice beside me, and it's totally
VIP.
Cool. I'm VIP now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm. And one of the last times I was at her condo, I was saying, like, this is a great space. Have you ever considered going out on your own? She said, well, actually, not here, like not in my home, but actually, I'm very, very close to opening my own salon. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like when you have that, you know, that feeling inside that you're like, I got to start doing this on my own. Then, you know, you know, all the signs kind of point that way. And, you know, you've asked me before and other clients have,
you know, asked me as well, you know, are you going to do this on your own one day?
Describe to me that feeling inside that says, I just got to do this on my own. What does that feel like? What is it like when you wake up in the morning?
Okay. If you keep hearing this from different people within a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, right? And that thought keeps coming to you as like, you know, maybe I should do this.
So this is less internal dialogue and more other people coming at you?
It's a bit of both, right? Because once someone mentions it and a couple people, 2-3 people, right? Yeah. Now your gears are moving and you're like, okay, maybe this is time. Maybe it's, maybe this is what I need to do right now.
And the people that are telling you this, you value their opinion or just a bunch of yahoos?
I value their opinion.
I was one of those people.
What qualifies someone for you to value their opinion versus fuck off?
Somebody who has been loyal to me for years and has been by my side, but then also someone new who hasn't gotten a good salon experience and leaves feeling like they're a whole new person, like you've changed someone's life. Right? So it's a bit of both.
Before we get into Agnes's introduction, can I just say, as one of the people that did bring it up, why I actually brought that up a couple times to her? There was a few reasons, and her and I have talked like off mic about this.
Yeah.
But one of the things was, she does something that you always tell people to do. You will recognize your own advice. She's had her own personal, not personal, it's her business Instagram account. But no matter where she's been working, her brand, and like I can see a post if I'm scrolling and I know instantly it's hers. Like she's got a look and a feel to her posts already. And I recognize her stuff before I even see the name. So I was like, you already have like an online presence and a brand, and you've already got a following. People know you, they know what to expect of you. So I mentioned that as one of the reasons, because even if she goes out on her own, her online presence was never tied to the salon she was at.
Yeah.
Like, sure, she'll put the link to which salon she's at, but it was never tied to the salons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even when you do like your before and afters, there's no branding or logo of the salons in her photos.
No, never. I'm my own brand. That's how I see it. That's my work.
Yeah.
You know, those are my clients. I brought them in. That's my brand.
Did any of the places you're working at say, hey, man, throw us in the mix?
I kind of do. At times we'll like a salon, but that's it.
What makes you decide I'm gonna tag them today versus I'm not?
If my boss will ask me, sometimes I will, but I mean, for the most part, I kind of just do my own thing.
What's yours is yours.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And a lot of, you know, I've worked with a lot of people who don't post anything on social media. Some bosses really don't care, right? So I'm just working on my own, right?
Cool.
Yeah. So as long as I've known her, she's been building her own brand online. Yeah. And like I said, it's very recognizable. And another thing she does, which is again, another thing that Mark always tells people, there's a really good mix of it's 90% business, but there's like 10% of personal life. You know, like if she's going to a concert, there's like the conference, concert. Mm. There's the concert look posted like in her story before the show, gives people a glimpse of who she is.
I want people to know that I'm not just all business.
You're a real person who does things. Yeah. Have interests.
Exactly.
I want to ask you something because you said something that was really interesting and I agree with you. But then there's going to be a whole bunch of yahoos out there that are like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Right.
Someone's look with their hair changes their life. Those were your words. I agree with you 100%. Yes. What do you say to those people like, what the fuck are you talking about? Changes life with a hairstyle. Tell the world what you mean by that.
You know,
the world. Tell our listeners.
This is 12. The world.
There's 12.
World, are you listening? So this is I mean, by changing someone's life, right? People go through trauma. I hear constant stories of someone having childhood trauma of haircuts and having bowl cuts, or going to a salon and they, you know, want 2 inches chopped off, they get everything chopped off, you know. So you know, you have to build that trust with your client before. So there's that. The consultation has to be strong with a client, and they, you have to kind of connect on their level emotionally too, right?
Tell me what all this means, because I'm a dude.
Yeah.
And as you can tell, this creation is probably my own. I don't go places for this.
Yeah.
Okay? So tell me about a consultation, the whole bit, because like, I have no idea what all this is.
Okay, yeah. So with a consultation, you know, you got to ask them what they're looking for, what they like, what they don't like, all these questions.
Cool.
You know, and a consultation can go on for 20 minutes, right? Because you're just trying to understand who that person is, how they do their hair, how they style their hair, what their everyday life looks like.
Yeah.
So you're trying to consider that as well when you're giving them a new look, right?
Cool.
And so when you build that trust with a client, I feel like, you know, your connection becomes stronger with them because, you know, you're now connecting. And when you listen to them, that's a big thing. You have to listen to your client. So then you give them that result that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And that's when they're like, wow, I've never had this before. Mm-hmm. Because
sold me on actually, I would say the reason that I kept coming back to you after the first time.
Okay.
So I'll give you a little backstory. Please. We met very randomly at a time our children went to the same school and our kids were in the same class. We didn't know each other. And I was chatting with some of the other moms and I kind of noticed her standing there like away from everybody. And you know the way I am. I'm like,
I don't blame you.
Somebody's standing away from everybody.
That's crazy.
I'm going to be the person.
Really were.
But you know who I am. I'm going to be the person that's like, oh, somebody's like standing away from everybody. Like, I'm going to say hi. I wasn't going to like try to make her come and, you know, maybe she's introverted. Maybe she wants nothing to do with anyone. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I would always like, hi, how are you? You know, just small talk because she was the mom that was kind of like standing away from all the other people, right?
I was, yeah.
And so we just started talking one day and she said something and she's like, well, I know I do hair. And I was like, oh, you do hair. And at the time I was seeing a stylist who didn't do any of these things, did not listen. I would come in saying, this is what I want. Yeah. And she was she had this like air about her that was like, I'm in control. And I mean, I loved her confidence. Don't get me wrong. But I would end up with like, this is not what I asked for. But it was like, she was trying to convince me, well, this is better. Like what I have done for you is better than what you were asking for.
Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes I would start to believe her. I'm like, okay, well, she's the professional. And I would just go with it. And then when I started talking to Agnes in the schoolyard and she said she did hair, I'm like, maybe this is a sign. Maybe I need to come see you because I had seen the same person for so long. So I took a chance. I went to see her and she sold me because we did sit and talk and she talked about, well, what do you do for? Okay, you do massage. So you probably wear your hair up a lot, right? Yeah. Okay. So you need this. And she knew that one of my biggest like insecurities and biggest issues with my hair is that it's so fine and thin. So what can we do to make it look less fine and thin? You know, like things like that. Like she was really actually listening to what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first thing. But then one time I went to her with an idea that I couldn't articulate whatsoever.
Yeah.
I was like, this is kind of what I want.
Tell me what you said. I want to hear what you said.
I don't even remember now. I was changing from one color to another. Even actually, you know what?
Do you remember what she said?
There was actually different.
She's done four to five different looks for me. I've gone through a lot with this woman. Yeah. Four to five different.
We've been through a lot.
We've had blue together. We've had the expensive brunette. I've been completely blonde with you. I've been
balayaged.
Like I've done.
That sounds fun.
A lot.
Yeah.
So the most recent one I did, actually, this is how it happened. I was at her place getting our kids' haircut.
Yeah.
And I said, at this point, I had blue. And I said, okay, I've been a year with blue. I'm over it. I need something else. And she was like, okay, what are you thinking? And all I said was, I want to go back brown, but I don't want it to be all a flat brown. I'm kind of missing my blonde, but I don't want to be a blonde again. That was as much as I said. Like I articulated nothing. And she pulls up a picture, like a Google image, and she goes, you like this? And I'm like, yep. And she texts it to me. She's like,
what did you type into Google?
Well, I kind of took in consideration what she was looking for, even though it was very vague.
Okay.
And I kind of go with the trends out now in hair.
Yeah.
But also something that is easy to manage, right? So I Googled the money piece or like a light balayage, you know, so it gets more technical, but you know, I showed her a photo and she liked it. So
I was like, yes, let's do that. So she texted me the photo.
Such a cool world.
Yeah. And for me, it was like, you're listening to like what I'm saying to you versus the person I was with before. If I had gone in and said like, I want some brown, some blonde, she'd be like, okay, sit. And she would just start working, you know, like, and then she would proceed to talk to me for an hour and a half about her life. And there would be nothing about like me or my hair or what I was doing. And so like what you're describing when you say like people have had bad experiences and then they come to you and they trust you. It was like, that's exactly what
regardless
it was. I'm like,
of
you're
what
listening
it is,
to
all
me.
Service is the fucking same, eh?
It really is.
This is just,
it really
this is.
Is
just like going to a massage therapist.
Absolutely.
100%.
Just listen
ours
to people.
Is just technical because it comes with, you know, chemicals and whatnot. And
right.
more or less, it's the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, the other thing too was the final result. Every time I've gone to Agnes, at the end, she's like, do you like it? And I know that she's genuinely looking for an honest reaction,
yeah.
where I was sometimes like, afraid is the wrong word, but like, I was more
hesitant.
Reluctant and yes. hesitant, yeah. yes, yeah. to tell the other stylist, like, this is not it. Like, you did not hit that mark that I was looking for. Okay. And so I would leave not entirely happy. Whereas again, the last time Agnes did my hair, the shade of blonde, when she first finished, I was like, it's not quite what I was looking for.
Yeah.
But like, I could say that to her. I was like, this is not exactly it.
Can you tell when someone's like,
A little bit.
Yeah.
It depends, right? Because sometimes people want to change.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is I try to prep them before and I'm like, you know, this is a big change, so
right.
you're gonna get scared a little bit, right? And yeah, they, you know, it takes a few days to kind of get used to like your new style.
Mm-hmm.
But I always ask, and mm-hmm. you know, if they don't like it, I'm there I can fix it, I can go back to your darker color, you know,
right.
we can figure it out. So
yeah.
I'm really open with my clients and I want them to be open with me, so mm-hmm. when they leave, they're happy, or you know, they come back, we can fix it.
Hair's so interesting.
Hair is interesting.
It is.
Man,
yeah.
if I had like thick, tons of hair and thick hair, oh, the things I would do. Like, I feel like because I have such fine and thin hair, I can do less. But like I said, we've done so many different
yeah, we have.
Styles together.
Yeah.
yeah.
You got to appreciate the little things, you know, because
yeah.
you have. Even compared to all my clients with like that thick, crazy thick hair, they haven't done anything compared
always,
to what you have
I'm
done.
I'm always
yeah.
doing
yeah.
things, but I also trust her to do it. Because like right. I said, when I went back and I was like, okay, listen, I went back 2 days later because she said, yeah, come by.
Yeah.
I said, it's just not quite the shade I wanted. She's like, let's try it again. Let's tone it.
Yeah.
And literally I left that night like, yes, this is the blonde I
yeah.
was
yeah.
this is the blonde I was looking for. By the way, so I didn't know this about her, but yeah. I just learned right now.
Yeah.
She's like a massive Star Wars fan. Can you tell Mark where you went on the weekend?
So I went to go see Star Wars Burlesque.
I wasn't.
It was phenomenal.
Hmm.
You gotta go.
Yeah. I saw ads for it on Facebook.
Yeah, I did too. And I was like, this is cheesy, but it's Star Wars, so whatever.
Why not? How bad can it be?
My good friend was like, okay, we're going. I'm like, fine, no problem. You know, you just go with zero expectations.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was amazing.
If I smoke a joint first, would it make it better?
I did that and it was great. Yeah.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. Star Wars Burlesque. I can't yeah. even picture it. Like, I don't understand. Apparently, I'm not very cool.
But I do love how you said that you change lives. It really, you know, when I first realized appearances change lives, it sounds so cheesy.
Yeah.
What not to wear on TLC. Is it TLC?
Oh my God. Yes. I was so obsessed.
I was
show.
For me, clothes were never, and you can tell by the way I look, clothes are never a thing.
Yeah.
And that's just me. That's just the way I roll and I'm cool with
but
it.
Again, that is your look.
But yeah, you know, every superhero's got a fucking outfit, right?
Yeah.
So you got a uniform. I got a uniform.
Totally.
I'm a superhero. And then when I watched that show, I was at the beginning of watching it. I'm like, this is clothes. Who the fuck cares? And
yeah.
it's like near the end of like an episode, I'm like, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
And then I saw on Instagram recently some dude in Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
he's a barber, I suppose, and he cuts hair in the park, some park downtown, for like anyone that needs a haircut. So pretty much he cuts a lot of homeless dudes' hair.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, how that just
good
fucking changes like someone's outlook
mm-hmm.
and how they feel, and therefore how they carry themselves and how
yeah.
they interact with the world. It's fucking interesting as hell, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible for
yeah.
him to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All
yeah.
of it is connected though. Like it's, I know there are people who don't quite understand it, but it's like that movie, The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah.
the, you know, the nerdy girl who like doesn't see how fashion affects it. But like everything that the way you present yourself, it's a choice, right?
Yeah.
Everything is a choice. And so, yeah, Mark might say like, oh, look at me. Cause you know, he wears like his black t-shirt or his rock t-shirts and baggy jeans every day, but that's your look. How uncomfortable would you be if you had to wear like khakis and...
Yeah, it's not me. I also have sensory issues that way though. If something doesn't feel, if something's not fitting a certain way, then all I do is fuss and pull at it all day long.
Right.
I can't stand it.
Or if it's not the right color.
Yeah.
Like if definitely. I wear orange, I'm done. I'm not leaving my house.
You're not an
orange person. I can't wear orange. It just doesn't suit me. And I know this, right? But some people don't know what looks good on them or not. So yeah, you know, some people do need that guidance.
It definitely makes a big difference. That was one, I loved that show actually, What Not to Wear. I used to watch it all the time because it was amazing to see how just dressing for your own personal style, your shape, your height, you know, like you have a really short person that maybe didn't know that they could wear stuff that made them look like just better. Like there was, just, and even the makeup, like the smallest little thing can
and
just
their
change
haircut.
Your face. And the haircut.
They also did a haircut.
They always did a haircut and that made a huge
difference.
That
was my inspo right there. I was like, wow.
Yeah. I can see how hair could change lives, but you had, I know earlier you're talking about people who had traumatic experiences at the salon, but just like any other service people, I mean, her and I have talked about this before. Mm. When I've got a client on the table who has had trauma in any aspect of their life, I eventually become the person that is getting an earful of it. And I know that stylists get that as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have nobody else to talk to and they have to sit in your chair for, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours. They tell you a lot of stuff. Now, you're not a therapist. You're not that's pretending true. To be a therapist.
Cheap therapist. That's what I call myself.
But you hear a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And again, having that trust and that good relationship with your clients, I think that's important. I think people are just more comfortable to open up and tell you things.
Do people tell you a whole bunch of shit?
Yeah.
Like with a massage therapist, because it's healthcare, there are rules and laws about confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like that there. So like someone feels that comfortable that they just, I'm assuming there's nothing like that there.
You know, as just like a human being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not telling everyone problems, right?
Right. Because, but I mean, there's that piece of added safety that when you're with a massage therapist, you know, because part of your informed consent is informing someone that anything that we do in here or we speak about is completely confidential.
Yeah.
Will not be released without your written permission or unless I'm required to release it by law type of thing.
Yeah.
What is the weirdest shit you've ever heard?
Oh my god, weirdest shit. Okay,
do you know who's cheating on who?
There's a bunch of that.
Do you know
right?
who's the real dad? Do you know something that Maury Povich does? Yeah, you
I've,
know all
I've
that
heard
stuff?
A bunch of stuff. Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm curious. What's the craziest thing you've ever heard?
I don't know crazy, but I remember like there was this one time this woman walked into the salon and she's just like, oh my God, someone needs to help me. And we're like, okay, what's going on? She takes her hat off and her hair is like butchered. Mm. Okay. Like shaved on one side, cut short in the front, like just mangled. Okay.
Yeah.
She looked like she got attacked. But turns out this 50-year-old woman, okay, went to some house party. Okay. And got so drunk and her friends did this to her. And it's like,
what?
People do weird shit when they're drunk.
Okay. 50-year-old, do they still have house parties like that?
If so.
Where there's like 30, 40 people in the house? Is that a thing? I'm
know.
Not saying
I don't
anything.
Know. Mark's
like,
50.
I don't go anywhere.
I'm just
though.
Kidding. He's not yet.
But who wants to do that?
Yeah.
Like, who are you partying with, first of all? Like, teenagers? Like, that's weird. Well,
someone that's crazy enough to take scissors and clippers to your hair, apparently.
Yeah, so she woke up on the bathroom floor in the morning, and that's what happened.
Wow.
Oh, my God. How did you guys fix that? Or did you fix that?
Yeah, but, you know, that's when you get a pixie cut.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Nothing else to do.
Yeah. Right? I had to get one of those ones, so.
Why?
Over, like, processing my hair. Just going from like black to blonde to black to, you know, and there was one day where I was like, I want a pink streak. So I did all this bleach on one side and yeah, it melted off. Huh. And there was my pixie cut at the age of 19, my prime years, you know, where you're trying to look cute and you're finally going out. And yeah, I stayed home. So,
oh boy.
Yeah.
I had to do a pixie cut, but not because of anything like that. Again, my hair is so fine and thin. And after having our first child, the hair loss was intense. Like I have a photo that looks like I'm losing my entire hairline. Like it was just so bad. And Mark convinced me. He was like, just cut your hair all off. He's like, do like a, I can't remember what you called it, like a boy haircut or something.
Yeah, maybe.
And I was like, no, I can't pull that off. He goes, you don't make any sense. You wear your hair in a ponytail like 90% of your life.
Yeah.
What's the difference if you just have short hair? And I was like, huh, fair.
That logic like, probably made no sense, eh?
It does though, because if your hair's tied up,
yeah,
if you could just cut it short, there's no.
Yeah. So
yeah, it makes sense.
He really convinced me because I was like, I don't know. I don't think I could pull it off. He's like, I think you can. Just do it. And so he started showing me like pictures of like celebrities with short haircuts. And he's like, you could do this. You could do this. I think the first one you showed me was pink. And I'm like, but I'm not pink. I don't look like that. But he was showing me all these haircuts.
I love
just do
the
it.
Effort.
Yeah.
She always has cool hair.
So anyway, he convinced me. Yeah. And I went to the person I was seeing before you.
Yeah.
And it took us about three tries because like I say, like, I don't feel like she ever was really listening to what I wanted.
Yeah.
So the first one, it didn't quite hit. And then the next one I went back, I was like, hey, we're getting a little better. And then probably the third time, I was actually just in love with it. I probably would have kept it around for a lot longer, except when you have that kind of hair, men will understand this. You wake up with fucking bedhead every day.
Yeah.
So like I had to actually style my hair and put more effort into it every morning because I couldn't just throw it in a ponytail and it didn't matter what weird ways it was going.
Was it a bob or was it like full out pixie?
It was full. Like I had most of it shaved and just a little volume on top.
I need to see this because I feel like you've showed me this, but this is a while ago.
Yeah, maybe.
I need to see this.
So I went through stages of short hair as well. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And then you were just one day like, I'm over it.
It was when I got pregnant again. I decided to grow my hair back out for ease of just throwing it in a ponytail because I was, you know, fat and pregnant and lazy and didn't want to do anything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah.
Has someone ever come in and wanted something? You're like, fuck no, I'm not doing that. Or do you just go with it?
Yes. 100%.
Do you do that for them or you do that for you? Because you don't want someone walking around saying, Agnes did this to me.
Both.
Hmm.
Because if you want something done, right, that is so intricate and takes up my whole day, potentially 2 days to get what you're looking for, then you're going to have to pay for that. Because, you know, that's a lot of work. There was once that this woman came into the salon once and her hair was to her ankles.
Whoa.
I'm not joking. To her ankles.
Rapunzel.
Yeah. Yeah. Thick, thick hair, and she wanted highlights.
Clear your calendar for the week.
I'm like, this is gonna take more than 8 hours to do.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's insane. My foils have to be as long as your hair.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not ideal, right? I quoted her about $2,000.
Yeah.
But even that would be not enough. I can't do that. There's no way. And obviously she didn't want to pay that much. But I did have a client come in, you know, like the following weeks and she's like, oh, my friend was here and she ended up getting her highlights done by someone else and she hates it. And I was like, oh, if you don't mind me asking, how much did she pay? Mm. She paid $200. So someone did try doing her hair and she hated it. Huh. So,
well, it's $200 for,
Yeah.
Did anyone ask her why she had hair to her ankles? That's a story I want to know.
She loved the long hair because I did recommend her cutting it, but she couldn't let go of the length. So
I saw a TikTok video yesterday, or maybe it was today, seeing that you're here.
Yeah.
Of a woman who was like, it just had gone through a really traumatic year. And so she was chopping all her hair off. And I know people do that. Like, do people tell you, like, I just need to, like, chop all my hair off or I need a completely different look after they've gone through, like, something huge?
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they tell you all the stories. You must hear so much shit. Like, I know we do, but you must also hear so much shit.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, sometimes if I know them well enough, I'm like, are you going through something right now? Right? And I do ask only because I care. Because I'm like, if you're going to now do something so crazy and, you know, something that's not you, especially because I know you as a person.
Yeah.
I try to, you know, kind of break it down and rationalize with them. I'm like, are you sure you want this? Like, what if we just do the color, but not the haircut? Or what if we just, you know, kind of compromise a little bit? Because I'm like, I know they're going to regret this.
That's what I mean about the consultation. Like when I went to her initially to remove my blue, and you'll remember this, I walked out more blue because I went to her and I said, you know, it's probably time. I've had this blue hair for a while. Like, I'm not a child. Let's move on. And as I sat in her chair, I was like, I'm really going to miss this. She's like, you don't seem ready to let go of the blue. Why are you doing this right now?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I've had it for X amount of months. Like, I think it's probably time for a change. And then I was like, but I really, really like it. She's like, then why don't we just brighten it up? You want to look at some different shades? Maybe we change the shade. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I went in there saying, like, I want it gone. Like, just get rid of it. And I ended up coming out with more blue than I ever had.
And that was awesome. It was like electric blue.
It was very electric.
Gorgeous.
Are there stylists that you know that will just do anything that anyone asks? Like, you know how, for example, a tattoo artist would be like, I am not going to do that. Like, you want me to put a fucking thunderbolt on your forehead? I'm not going to do that to you, right?
Yeah.
Or you'll have another tattoo artist that's like, sure, you're going to pay me? I'll do anything you fucking want. Or you'll have a plastic surgeon that's like, I'm not doing this. It's not going to work for you. It's a waste of your money. You're going to look horrible after. Just trust me on that. And then you have other plastic surgeons like, fuck it. Who cares? You want to pay for it? And I've given you the warning.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it anyway. Is there like a reputation amongst stylists of like, that person will just fucking do whatever they want. This person's always doing shit. This person's stuff is always fabulous.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have our, you know, stylists who just stick to their old school haircuts,
right.
Choppy layers, choppy highlights. And that's fine. Like, that's you and you have your old clientele and they love it. And, you know, you keep doing you because you've built your clientele, right?
That reminds me of Schitt's Creek.
I love that show.
Where that stylist can only give one haircut. I love it.
Everybody looks like Jocelyn.
Yeah. Love her. But yeah,
I want to talk about the shift to being an entrepreneur, but I realized we didn't kind of go through like how you even got into this. Because I mean, when I met you, I mean, you're young now, but you were even younger when we met. So like you obviously got into being a hairstylist really young.
Yeah.
How does this happen? Like, did you go straight from high school? Was this something you always knew you wanted to do? Did you fall into it? Do you have like a family history of hairstylists?
No family history of hairstylists, but definitely being in high school, I was like, I'm not meant for school. I can't do this every single day of my life. And I can't picture myself, you know, in front of a computer or anything like that. I can't. And
Definitely not. I showed her an Excel sheet earlier and she's like,
fuck that.
I don't know how to do that.
Did you struggle? Did you struggle in school? Or
Yeah. Severely. Okay. Yeah. I'm like ADHD. So
gotcha.
Can't sit
so
still.
So formal education, not your jam.
Not my jam. No. Okay. And I mean, if someone did take the time to like tutor me or whatever, I think I would be a lot better. But no, I was more in like that creative side.
Gotcha.
So I would always cut my own hair.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend and I, we always had like really cool hair. Actually, grade 9, I won best hair, by the way.
That's a thing? That's an award?
That's an award. But yeah, like growing up, I would always have to, you know, color my mom and grandma's hair always. You know, I had a sister, so we would do each other's hair. But yeah, when I was in high school, I was like, that's it. I'm going to be a hairdresser. I'm like, I'm having lots of fun. And then I started cutting people's hair in the bathrooms, you know, hustling a little bit.
That's how it goes, yeah.
And then from there, I did a co-op program. Mm-hmm. And in high school. And then I was like, that's it. I'm a hairdresser.
And then she went to hairstyling college, one that I actually got my hair cut at one time. I told you when I was poor, I went to it, just like, you know, the college that we worked at, how you could get like a dental cleaning from the hygienic student or hygienist students.
Yeah. $10 a haircut?
I went for like the cheap haircut. And this was totally on me. I asked for something probably way too complicated for, you know, a student, and I ended up with the worst hair I've ever had in my entire life.
What did it
devastating.
Look like?
So I went in as a brunette.
Yeah.
No, even worse. I went in with darkest brown box dye.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the last thing that had gone on my head. And I wanted to be blonde. I went in with long hair and I wanted a bob. I ended up looking like, you know, we watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Johnny Depp one last night with our kids.
That's such a good
had Johnny Depp's haircut and it was orange. Like, that's how I walked out of that place.
That's funny.
I forget. Does he have bangs?
He had. Oh, except I didn't have bangs. But like exactly how his like bob was. Oh, like that's what I ended up with.
You poor thing.
And my hair was orange because you can't go from like a dark brown box dye to blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened to me. So
it was like a helmet.
It was. Yeah. It was an orange helmet. It was. I wore my hair in pigtails for the next, I don't know, probably 7 months.
You poor thing. Wow.
Are there a lot of colleges for this? Or is it like a small handful?
Handful.
Yeah.
Handful, yeah.
Hard to get into?
No. No, no, no. When I was in college, you know, like half the time, you know, the parents would pay for their tuition or whatnot.
Difficult school? Like a lot of time?
10 months for the program I did because it was 9 to 5 Monday to Friday.
Mm. It's a full time.
That's a full time. It's a full time thing, yeah.
How long do you have to be a student like practicing on mannequins before you get to work on the people?
So once you graduate hair school, you're allowed to start bringing in you know, like models, right? Okay. so then your boss can start seeing, you know, how you're doing and what you've learned and if you can, you know, start taking clients in.
Okay, so the person I saw at this college would have already gone through the whole program and graduated and now they're like doing the public's hair?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, right. So they get all their experience at the college, right? Because you know, all the people that want $10 haircuts, well, guess what? You might leave
looking like Johnny Depp in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory
with orange hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was not so cool.
So, tell me about your work setup now. How does this work? Do you rent space? Do you work on a commission? How does it work in your industry?
Commission. You can rent a chair.
Okay.
But I am on commission right now.
So why do you want to go out on your own? Because I assume you sound like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You sound like you got loyal clientele.
Yes.
You've been doing this for a while.
Yes.
You're skilled.
Yeah.
You're making decent dough, obviously.
Yeah.
Because you're living and you've got a family that you're supporting.
Yeah.
Why take the risk? Why?
Because where I am right now, I don't feel like I can be my full self. Mm. Also, the prices that we are charging are too high for my OG clients that have followed me, right? Okay. And I don't want that big jump for them because, you know, people have some financial issues too, right? And so now I'm kind of working at the salon and I'm working from home and it's a lot. If I had my own space, I can, you know, work my prices.
Right.
I can help out the people that, you know, I want to help out. And yeah, I can be in my own space. I can be myself. I can do my own thing.
So when you say that you fully can't be yourself, what do you mean by that? Because there's a lot of massage therapists that work in a clinic right now that feel the same way. But I know what that feels like. What does that mean for you in your industry?
Okay, so it's very, you have to be very professional. Not saying that I'm not professional. I can be professional.
Can I pause you then?
Yes.
Define professional for me.
Professional.
For you, whatever it means to you.
Okay. In the sense of, you know, I guess taking care of your clients in a way.
Okay. No, I totally get that, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing for us. We talk about professionalism all the time.
All the time.
And we're like, it's not the way you look. It's not the words you say all the time. It's how serious do you take your job? How serious do you take on with us, our clients or patients? How empathetic and how much listening do you do? And how can you deliver the service or whatever it is that they're looking for and have a positive influence in their life? To me, that's professional.
Okay. See? So, okay. That's how I feel.
Right.
But I guess there's that pressure on me in the salon that I'm working at now that it needs to be professional in the sense of like your clothes, you always have to look done up.
To look and speak.
And speak a certain way. And always, you know, offer, even if they're not your clients, offer them coffee, which I already do.
Right.
Just like micromanaging.
Gotcha.
I'm so sick of it. I know what to do with people. I know how to talk to people. You know, if I want to dress funky a certain way,
right?
That's who I am.
And in your mind,
Yeah.
As long as everyone that sees me is fucking happy.
Yeah.
And I'm delivering on the service that they want.
Yeah.
And you're getting your money. I'm making my commission.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares?
Exactly.
Hmm.
I'm acknowledging everyone in the room. I'm being the person I am, but I feel like there's always something that's holding me back. Right? Like I'm not as professional as everybody else because I have a big personality.
So that was the first thing that you were listing off as the stuff that you're like, oh, I can't be me, this whole professional part.
Yeah.
Is there more to it that you feel like you can't fully be you in your current work environment?
Yeah. I like to blast music. I like to dance. I like to get my clients dancing too. You know, like I want to be able to eat food there. You do just kind of be you. If the client feels like, oh, you know, I want to sprawl out and have my lunch here, go ahead.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to look a certain way or we don't have to like act a certain way. Yeah. Like just be you.
You want to allow for an environment where there's a very personalized experience for each client.
Yes.
And if this is how we're doing it today with this client, then cool. And yeah. If in another 3 hours, I'm doing it different with a different client, and yeah. That's the way they want it to be, and that's the way I want it to be in that moment, then cool.
And then cool,
then
yeah.
Fuck
exactly.
The box. I don't
exactly.
need to be in the... I get you, man.
And another thing that came up was, should we get uniforms? I was going to lose my mind because I'm not wearing a white shirt and black pants to work every single day. That shirt will be yellow under my armpits. Like how you can't do that. No, that's not me.
Yeah.
I need to feel like myself. I need to feel comfortable. I love my job and I don't want somebody holding me back from being who I want to be in, you know,
over a white shirt.
Do you think that being held back like that affects the creativity of your work?
Not of my work, but of me personally.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I feel for me, it trickles down into my work.
Yeah.
Because I would live in my head too much. And if I just don't like my, it happens to me all the time. If I don't fucking like my surroundings, then I don't give a shit about what I'm doing.
Right. Yeah.
And then it just trickles down to, unfortunately, the person that is paying me to do whatever.
Yeah.
And that's just because I fucking hate where I am right now.
Yeah. For me, it's my mood. Mm. Right? I try to like mask it, but it's hard sometimes. I'm not really good at masking my emotions, right? So if I'm like upset, like, you know, someone might be like, are you like agitated or something? I don't want to be like that. I just want to be able to be comfortable in my own space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, again, I've followed her to a couple of salons and I know certain things that were like on extremes between the two, but neither of them hit the mark. So for example, the first salon that I was seeing her at, they were a little more flexible in their booking. Like they'd let her kind of manage her schedule a little bit more, which, you know, I think that you liked that you could kind of manage your schedule a little bit more, but the pay wasn't really cutting it.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere really wasn't you. Like it was very, I don't know. I'm not going to put them down. Like they're nice people, but it was just, it was not.
It was a free for all. Yeah. You do whatever. And actually I did not like that booking through Instagram. Mm. Right. Cause it was a lot. It's like, as soon as you go home, now you have to open all these messages, go back and forth with clients to see what days work for them.
Because this salon didn't have like a booking link or whatever. Yeah. So like she was managing all of her people. Yeah. She was managing all of her people. So that was like really extreme.
Yeah.
And then the place she's at now is the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Where it's like there's only one way to book services. And the place she's at now is much more high end, which it's funny when you said like, oh, a lot of my OG clients can have, like when she first got this job, I sent her a message and I was like, I am so happy for you. Like super sad for me, but so happy for you.
Yeah. And I remember
because the price difference jumped drastically. And that's what I mean. It was so extreme where the first place probably wasn't charging maybe enough.
Yes.
And the second place is really, really high end. But at the end of the day, because it's a commission base, like Agnes isn't seeing that money.
So I'm like, still robbed.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel
and
robbed.
So again, having her own space would be like where she could price things at a price point that's most comfortable for her and her people. And as the person doing the work, she's actually seeing the fruit of that. Like this high end salon she's at, that's great. They're charging an arm and a leg, but you're getting the pinky toe, and that's not cool.
That's definitely not cool. And also, like, I'm human. I know people are struggling, especially right now, and I don't want someone to feel like, oh, they can't come to a salon because they can't afford it. Like, I like to help people, and if I can, I will. Right.
Makes sense.
So
while still making sure you're making the money,
Of course.
I had to throw that in because, again, the first salon that you were at, I feel like they were probably not charging enough.
Too laid back. Yeah.
They were a little too laid back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, again, for us coming in as clients who don't see everything that's happening on the back end, I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
This is nice. I can pay this.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So now you're going to open up a salon.
Yes, I am.
This is where I wanted to get her in front of you, Mark, because the last time she came for a massage, she said, I don't know where to begin. And I was like, Mark can help you.
I've come to the right people. Seems like.
You're the guy with all the advice.
I don't have advice. I just have ideas. But
you're the guidance that I need.
You're the guidance that she needs.
Yeah. What are we looking to do here? What are we looking to do? Are we looking to tell me what the overall,
what's the vision?
End game. Let's work backwards. Let's go end game vision.
End game?
Yeah.
To be in my salon.
So we're talking about your own standalone brick and mortar that's not your house.
Yes.
And is it just you? Is it other people? Down the road,
yes. I would bring other people on.
Other people that are working on commission type of thing?
Okay. Yes.
Cool. Why are you staring at me?
It sounded like you were going to say something with all those questions.
Yeah.
I mean, I brainstormed a little bit while she was here. And I said, well, like, exactly the same questions. What kind of location do you want? Like, are you looking for a small space where it's just you? I think I even asked you, like, how many chairs would you want? How many stylists would you want to accommodate there?
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked to her about, like, do you have an idea of what neighborhood you want to be in? Like, have you done research in the neighborhood? I think at that moment, we didn't have answers to those questions, but
no, but then you stimulated my mind a bit because I was like, wait, these are good questions. I need to remember them. So I wrote them down and then I did start doing some of my research and I did contact someone. So, you know, I'm getting the ball rolling. I just need more information as much as I can get, right? Because I don't want to go into this blindly. I want to do this smart and do it the right way.
Okay.
Do it once, do it right kind of thing. So
did you figure out where you want to be? Are you going to stick around in the East End? So like all of us that have been,
100%.
I mean, that was completely a selfish question. I'm just like trying to figure out if she's moving somewhere where I have to drive further.
I will be so close to you, Amanda.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's start with foundation. When I say foundation, I encourage anyone that's opening a business to first, especially in service industry, you're not just the service provider. Because if you're in mindset of service provider only, business decisions suck. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like a massage therapist. It's only think about patient outcomes. Like you can't make decisions on business because you're too busy thinking about patient outcomes.
Yeah.
So you have to be ready to flip your hat all the time. Do you have like the ultimate foundation, which is like, it's going to sound hokey and cheesy, like a mission statement?
That's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because
like,
think of it like this. Your mission statement is a public declaration of your values as an organization.
Yeah.
And therefore, every business decision that you make has to go back to the foundation, has to go back to your values as an organization. This guides you in saying, I'm not going to do that because that just is not what I'm about, what my values are. I'm going to entertain this idea because it kind of fits in with what I'm doing. And I'm definitely going to run on this one because it's in line 100%. So do you have something like that in your mind?
Yes, 100%. Like this is something that I know it's not just fun and games.
Good.
I'm going to have to, like you said, wear a bunch of different hats, but I'm ready for it, right?
So I want you, if you haven't already, within the next 3 weeks to actually write out a mission statement.
Okay.
And this is something, it's not complete until you read it back to yourself and you're like, there is nothing else I want to say here. This completely defines me and my company, and I'm more than proud to display this to the world.
Okay.
That's step number one.
Okay. And stamped and all. Stamped and signed.
Because yeah. That sucker is going to go on your website. That sucker is going to go on the wall of your salon. That sucker is going everywhere because yeah. That's your public declaration to what you're all about.
Okay.
And that's the first, that's the first entry for someone to identify with you to say, this person is my person. I want to be in your tribe.
Okay.
And it's meant to repel people that you're trying to repel.
Right.
Right. Because we're not in it to service everybody.
Exactly.
We're in it. We have what we do well and what we like to do. And therefore, you want people that are into that idea. So it's got to repel people that you just are not in line with what's going on.
Okay.
So the word's got to be that powerful.
Okay.
Cool. That's step one. You go step two.
Oh, okay. I wasn't prepared for this. Mission statement definitely has to be step one. Because as Mark said, then every decision you make after that, it has to be in line with that mission statement. Otherwise, it's not for it. It just won't feel right anyway. It'll be like putting on like an itchy sweater. Like, no, that's not for me. But I guess with that mission statement is defining like what type of like stylish or what type of organization you're going to be. So for example, understanding who your target market is doesn't mean that you're not going to do the hair of the 80-year-old woman or the 14-year-old girl or everybody in between, but who's your target audience? Because that's going to also help to direct maybe things like your branding, the look of the place, the vibe. You know, you talked about, I like to blast music. That will repel people, right? So who are you targeting? Who are these people?
So let this mission statement speak to a couple of people.
Okay.
Let the mission statement speak to you, first of all.
Yeah.
To remind you of like what you do, why you do it, and why should anyone care in the first place.
Right.
And then your mission statement should also speak to the potential consumer. So those are the two major people that it's speaking to. You, to remind you what you do, why you do it, why should anyone even fucking care about what you do?
Yeah.
And then it should also speak to the consumer.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
The next thing on the hit list, and this is all part of it, is a massive self-evaluation, right? So self-auditing is super important because this is where you get to identify, when you're looking at it from like a business strategy standpoint, we can't identify our strengths if we haven't done the self-evaluation. We can't identify our weakness if we haven't done the self-evaluation. We can't identify opportunities or threats, right? It's called a SWOT analysis. Mm-hmm. So it's used often in business coaching. It's used a hell of a lot in athletic coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea. But you can't do all that. That's, in other words, that's the way that you're going to turn inward and self-audit.
Yeah.
So let's figure out what you're really good at. What are your strengths in all parts of your business, whether it's mm-hmm. the technical stuff or any of the business-related stuff? What are your weaknesses? Identify those. What are business opportunities and market opportunities, and what are business and market threats for your business?
As an example, I mean, I made a joke of it earlier, but as an example, when I was showing you the spreadsheet, and you're like, oh, I'm not super tech savvy. That's fine. If you know that as a weakness about yourself, when you're actually creating your business plan, then you're not going to be the person that standalone is going to try to do a lot of the stuff that you know, you would need to have a tech savvy mind for. Maybe that's one area in your plan where you have to outsource or take a course to learn how to do it if you're that type of, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah.
But you have to identify these things first. So identify what you're really good at. So if one of the things you're really good at is connecting with people, then, you know, part of a strategy when it comes to your marketing, for example, might be to get yourself into places where networking is an option versus, you know, something where you have to be more technical like social media, whatever. That's right. Just an example.
Yeah. Yeah.
But know what you're really good at. Know what maybe you're not. And it doesn't mean shy away from the things you're not. We hear this a lot from people when they're like, oh, I'm not good at this, so I just don't do it. But that not doing it might be limiting you somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So knowing you're not good at it is fine. How can you either find someone to help you or figure out how to become good at it.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So kind of like a pros and cons list.
This is, yeah, this is the whole self-awareness. Like Mark said, know like what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, opportunities. So, you know, you and I talked about location. I always tell people, look at the market opportunities and threats around you. What kind of neighborhood are you in? Like, are you in a neighborhood that's like super high end, that isn't, that's, you know, accessible by TTC, or, you know, that has good parking or a storefront, like all of these things. Yeah. What are the opportunities and what might be the threats? So like, for example, if you are in a neighborhood where there's no parking, that could pose a problem. But knowing it before you even start helps you find solutions right before it becomes a problem for you.
Right. Okay.
So that's the whole self-awareness, is understanding all of those, right, those pieces. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. The analysis is the first thing. And then the next thing is what you and I were kind of talking about off mic, is then creating a plan. The one thing I said to her when we were brainstorming, when she came for treatment, mm-hmm. you can imagine this treatment session was just, we talked the whole time. And
that's our therapy.
Yeah. And we talked the whole time about this business idea, because she said, I really want to be close to doing this. And I said, you can, you just have to get yourself organized. And that's when we decided to record this podcast. Cause I said, maybe we can talk a little bit while recording. But one of the things we talked about was, I just went completely blank. Oh yes. Creating the business plan. Yeah. So I said, you know, because obviously the question of money came up.
Okay.
She was talking about, you know, how I'm going to look into getting financing. I said,
yep,
that, like, you're a step ahead right now. Before looking into that, you need to actually create the plan. Know the space you want to get, know what equipment you're going to need, know what kind of staff you're going to need. Like, you have to create the entire plan for the business and then budget for that.
Yeah. So it's a natural kind of, I don't want to call it an error, but it's a natural thing to be like, let me look at my money first and let me see how I can stretch my money,
yeah,
which heavily influences the plan.
Because that's going to influence your decisions. You might say no to something because you think you can't afford it.
100%.
The better move is, let's come up with the ultimate plan that is ideal for exactly what you want, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to take a look at my budget and decide I'm going to build this building on this budget. I'm going to do the blueprints for the building that I actually really, really, really want.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I look at, do I have the budget to make this happen? Right. In other words, let's start with what you actually really want at the end.
Yeah.
Right. And then we work it backwards. If that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
Yeah.
So that way when you are coming up with your plan, every piece of your plan is with the best intention for the best possible outcome for whatever you're desiring.
Yeah.
And then you work backwards from there. Cool.
That's cool. And I think a lot of people do struggle with that because they're first. Absolutely. Thought is money, like, just like me, right? I'm like, how can I even afford this? But I want it, but how am I gonna do it, right?
Right. And so, and you might be putting a limit on yourself because you don't know what you can and can't afford until you've actually laid out what you wanted it to be.
Right.
Right. So yeah, start with what you want it to be. And mm. that way, when you go back to your budget, then you can revamp, you know, you have to revisit and revise the end game, the end result. That way you can say, okay, well then this thing wasn't ultimately so important. Let's scrap that. This thing, I'm going to throw
or defer it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? So kind of work backwards that way. So that's was one of the first questions was like, what do you kind of want in the end game?
Right.
Brick and mortar, standalone, four chairs in the room type of thing. You're occupying one. You've got three full-timers that are occupying others. And this is where you want to start. Cool. Let's start planning for that. Do you see what I'm saying?
That's really good. Yeah, that's really great advice because it's overwhelming to kind of look at it through like the money side first and then what you're envisioning, because you're like, there's no way I can afford that. And I've done that so many times too. I would like look at pictures and I'm like, oh my God, I want this salon, but I can't afford it.
Yeah, you have to make the plan first because there's always a way to get the money. Whether, like we said, whether it's something that you maybe have to defer, maybe you have to get some financing on something, there are ways. But if you just look at what you have right now, majority of us didn't have the capital we needed to start a business when we started a business.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That nobody, I mean, I shouldn't say nobody, there are people. I was not walking around with $50,000 in my pocket. Trust me, Mark was not walking around with 50,000. He might have been before he met me. I think I sunk that ship. Yeah, he's like, that was too true. I don't want to say anything.
Crickets.
I'll save that conversation with my hairstylist.
That's why you can't see my people. I'm sorry.
He sees himself. He's his own hairstylist. No,
yeah, that's true.
I'm in the mirror talking to myself.
You're your own best friend. Yeah,
absolutely.
So when you're doing your plans now, so you're trying to come up with your plans on stuff. You also want to come up with all of the key components that make up your business. So list out the key components that are there. So, for example, I can only speak about a massage industry. Do you want to talk about some of the massage industry key components?
Yeah, you look at things like sales. You look at things like marketing. You look at things like professional development, because we have to do so much. You look at things like location, which we've already spoken about.
Physical space.
You look at things like the physical space, what staffing you may need. So if it's a clinic, you may need reception. You look at services that you might need, like accounting, like laundry. You look at things like point of sale, like booking software, or like practice management software, looking at everything that you might need to get in place to actually get this thing up and running.
So you're going to sit there with all of these ideas, right? Of what are all the key components of my business? Okay, I've got the financial stuff here. And what are all the subcategories of this financial stuff, right? Whether it's point of sale or staffing or blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, then I have the actual service themselves or the services. Well, what are the key components of all these services? And then what you see, getting the idea?
Yeah.
And then for all of these key components, we're going to create an individual plan for every single one of them. So the whole idea with a strategic plan is really to kind of map everything out, right? Mm-hmm. It's really easy to follow a Google fucking map, because it says, go right here, go past this light,
unless you're
turn left, stay in the left lane, make a right. It just, it's mapped it all out for you. That's what you're going to do. You're going to create that map for every one of these components. That way, when you're ready to put into action, all you're doing is following just the following fucking the map that you laid out.
Right.
So the difficult part is to sit down with the map.
Yeah.
When you're sitting down with the map, a smart principle of goal setting is a fabulous idea. So SMART, S is for specific. Make sure that goal is super specific on what you're trying to do. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Is it measurable? How do you know you're accomplishing this thing? How do you know you're making headway here? Mm-hmm. So something's got to be measurable, like your KPIs, your key performance indicators. The A is like the action. What are the actual things that need to be done for this goal? Is it
realistic?
Is it realistic what you've set out? And then every goal's got to have a time component to it. It's got to have a deadline.
Yeah.
You don't have deadlines, everything gets fucked.
Yeah.
So let's use the idea, because it's just easy and everyone can hear and understand it. Weight loss, right?
Yeah.
I'm the fat dude with the round face.
Bad haircut.
And a bad haircut, right? With my weight loss. It's not enough for me to say I want to lose weight. That's meaningless.
Yeah.
Okay. How much weight do you want to lose? Right? Give it to me in a measurable item. How many kilograms? How many pounds? How many whatever? Let's go even further. Does it matter if it's water weight that you lose? Does it matter if it's fat weight that you lose? Does it matter if it's muscle mass that you're losing? What kind of weight do you want to lose? See how we're making this really, really specific?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to lose 30 pounds of fat weight, like body fat I want to lose. Cool. That's a very specific fucking goal.
Yeah.
Right? Let's also, I'm going to jump down to the T. Let's think about a time frame for this. Like, what is a realistic time frame do you think that I can make this happen in? Like, 7 days is not realistic for me to lose 30 pounds of fat.
Yeah.
Right? So what's a realistic time frame? So I might jot down 3 months. Cool. So if I'm trying to lose 30 pounds of fat weight in 3 months, that probably looks like the measurable, the M, is looking at, I'm probably trying to cruise for 10 pounds of fat weight a month. Cool. Right.
Yeah.
How am I going to measure that I'm losing 10 pounds of fat weight a month? Well, every day at 8:30 a.m., I'm going to jump on the scale and I'm going to record my weight. And then as soon as I get off the scale, I'm going to get onto my scale that measures my body fat percentage. And I'm going to record my body fat percentage. So now I've got this measurable idea of like, am I cruising along the right path to lose that 10 pounds every month, right? Am I losing that 3 pounds or 2.5 pounds every week of body fat, right? So I'm measuring it along the way. Then I get to the A, which is the meat of everything, the action plan. It's not enough for me to say, I'm going to exercise.
I'm going to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Well, what are you going to do at the gym? I don't know, but I'm going to Well, no. Let's say I'm going to do something that's going to build lean body mass, which will help to burn body fat.
Yeah.
So in other words, I want to build muscle. But that's not enough. That's not an action plan.
Yeah.
What am I doing on Mondays? What am I doing on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, on Fridays, on Saturdays, on Sundays for this whole fucking month?
And do you have a meal plan?
Right.
All of that has
now
to be
this,
in there.
That, and that was this just the building muscle.
Right.
Well, what am I going to do cardiovascular-wise that's going right. to help with this fat? Well, what am I doing on the Monday, on the Tuesday, on the... See, it's easy once I see Monday, I'm going to do chest, back, shoulders, and I'm going to do 40 minutes of cardio, and I'm going to do 30 minutes of stretching, and I'm going to eat this on Monday for breakfast, for snack, for lunch, for dinner. You lay all that shit out, yeah. right? So I've got the weightlifting component for muscle mass. I've got the cardio component for cardiovascular fitness and therefore, you know, calorie loss, for the lack of a better way of saying it. And then I've got my meal plan that's laid out every fucking day.
Yeah.
Cool? This is a Google map that I can easily follow now because I've laid it all out. All yeah. I'm going to do is turn right at the lights because I look at my schedule and it says turn right at the lights.
The work yeah. is done.
Instead of turning right at lights, yeah. it says you're going to go to the gym, you're going to hit legs, you're going to do squats, you're going to do deadlifts, you're going to do lunges. Then after that, you're going to do some abdominal work. Then after that, you're going to do 40 minutes of cardio. And then this is what you're eating for that day. And you're going to make sure you drink this much water. You're going to make sure you take these supplements. You're going to make sure that you get this much rest.
Yeah. And if you were to do that for every element of your business, you take one thing at a time, like let's say you're operating. So you go through everything. How are your clients going to book the appointments? We talked about that, right? So yeah. what systems do you need to have in place to make sure people are booking appointments, right? And you put it out what your goal is and all the things that need to be done to get that system up and running and going. Something like marketing, you know, like who are you going to be targeting? So a goal is, you know, maybe to run a marketing campaign for, you know, 40-year-old women who want to pretend that they're in their 20s and have blue hair, you know, whatever it is.
yeah.
And how are you going to measure that you're targeting the right people? Maybe you're going to do targeted ads through whatever it is. Like all of this SMART principle can go to every aspect of your business. That's how you write out a plan.
And I'm going to pause really quick. So you're talking about a target market and everything else, and you think, oh, I want to target these people. And guess what you're doing in the meantime? You're always going back to your mission statement. Because if your mission statement is saying, I don't want to deal with that type of person, I don't want to target that person, then why the fuck am I creating a whole marketing plan right. to get that person in the door?
Right.
So you see how the mission statement really kind of is the foundation of which everything else is laid.
Yeah.
It's this abstract idea that is always going to be referred back to that's going to guide all the decisions that you're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is a starting point.
Really which, break it down.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
So it does take a lot of no real action at the beginning.
Yeah.
But it's all the planning stages, which is the biggest action.
Which is huge.
It's
yeah.
the biggest action, yeah. but yeah. it feels yeah. like it's a no action because you're sitting there at home on your computer, or you're sitting there at home with a fucking pen and paper.
That's what I do.
But it is super important
crayon.
To have the plan before you just start.
Paper.
It was actually funny when I laughed about, you know, our friends not following Google Maps. When we were away this weekend, the one thing he kept noticing,
him,
the guy who was driving, he's one of our partners. He's awesome.
Yeah.
But he'd always start driving before putting the address in the GPS.
He just starts driving.
We're in a whole other fucking province.
No one knows the city.
And he just starts driving.
He jumps in the car.
We're like,
puts,
but where are you
put
going?
Puts in the brakes, pushes the start button, puts it in reverse and starts going. I'm like, bro, where are we going? He's like, I don't know. Like, you guys look it up. I'm like, why don't we just figure that out first? And
yeah.
that way we don't have to go in fucking circles.
Yeah, seriously.
And
then
just
start
added 20
stressing
minutes.
About the address.
Yeah, yeah. And we just added 20 minutes to our time. And, yeah. and all we did was fuck things up.
We'd find out he's going the complete opposite direction than
right.
we need to be going. We're like, why are you doing that? So if you the first thing you really need to do is, like Mark said, reverse engineer the whole thing. But if your first specific goal is to be in my salon, okay, by when? Get the tea set up, right? Yeah. By when? do you want to be in your salon?
Can I tell you?
Of course.
Go ahead.
My plan is like 6 months.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that's enough time for me to figure everything out. What do you guys?
Well, now this is where you have to start taking this SMART principle and setting goals for every aspect of the business. And only then can you go back and say, is this realistic? Everything I laid out here that has to be done, because everything is going to also have a deadline, right? So you're going to start plugging things in your calendar. You're a full-time working mother.
Yes.
So you're going to have to carve out time in your week every week for to just work on your business, which means if I call you and I say, hey, I'm going to pay you $250 to do my hair, and it's you've already set time you to work on your business, say, fuck your $250, Amanda. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Right.
Between this hour and this. So anytime after that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if your goal is to be in there in 6 months, then yeah, you need to start writing out all this stuff. And once you've done that, you can
You'll know.
Is this realistic? And you know, Mark used to say this at the beginning of all of our business classes, and I loved it. He would say, if you write out the plan, if you follow your plan to a T, you absolutely cannot fail unless your plan was garbage.
Well, you won't fuck up the plan.
Right.
Maybe it was a shitty plan to begin with.
Yeah.
And this is where consultation with other people that know your industry very well, they can help you out to say, yep, this is a good idea to do this, is a good idea for this, maybe you want to look at this, blah 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 blah, blah, right?
Yeah.
But if you map it out, bang 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 bang, there's the only way you can fuck up your plan is if you don't adhere to your own plan.
Right.
You'll always be able to execute your plan if you stay to it. It's just, now was it a shitty plan or not? But you won't know until you finish the plan, and then now we bring in consultation for it.
Yeah,
right.
I see. Yeah. And that makes complete sense, right? Because when you just think of opening up your business, you're like, where do I start? It just seems so overwhelming because there's like 10 things that you got to do, more than 10 things.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you know what? That's a great way to start.
Cool.
By just making notes pretty much, right?
Yeah. Map it out.
Yeah, map it out.
And if that takes 4 weeks to come up with your ultimate plan for everything.
Yeah.
And then have some consultation to see if this plan is reasonable, if it makes sense. Does this sound like it's going to bring success in your industry? Then we've got the stamp of approval. Okay, let's start putting this plan in motion.
Okay.
And now I'm saying, oh, I'm giving myself 5 months to fully put the plan in motion type of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it does start with a lot of lonely nights on your bed.
That already happens. Might as well now use that time constructively.
That was funny.
By the way, did you know, you know, after, for those who listen to us regularly, you know, I just recently had a birthday and I drank like I was 20, woke up feeling incredibly 40. And when
did
I wake
up with a bad haircut?
Did not wake up with a bad
haircut. Floor.
But oh man, I have not felt hungover like that literally in years, because I never drink to that extent. That was something. But anyway, I wake up in the morning and I've got this massive, like, I mean, comically large wine glass that says 40 on it. Full of like confetti and chocolate and like lights. String lights. And I'm looking at this thing and like, I'm like,
where did this come from?
Who gave me that? And I'm trying to remember and I couldn't remember. And I don't know, something in me, I was like, it's got to be Agnes. Mm. I texted her and I was like, did this ridiculous wine glass come from you? She's like, yeah, there was a card with it. I'm like, the card got separated, but somehow I knew this came from you.
It's your 40th and we got to be obnoxious. So.
It was obnoxious, all right.
Did you see the button too?
Oh, I have the button. Yep.
That was a fun party.
That was so much fun.
I believe you guys.
You were a good time.
I bet.
Yeah, you were.
There's one of the parents that was there from... like their kid goes to their kid's school. He's a nice guy. He doesn't smoke weed anymore, or maybe he doesn't smoke weed at all.
He hasn't smoked since he was in his home country. Like, he's been here in Canada for over 20 years.
So he drank quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm going to go smoke a joint. You want to come with me? Yeah, let's go smoke a joint. And apparently the next day he was telling his wife how, I spent the night talking to this guy. Who is this guy? He had this white beard and I talked to him. His wife's like, that's you.
You're probably the only guy at the party with a white beard.
He's like, you're probably talking to yourself, you fucking
idiot. In the
idiot.
Mirror?
Who is that guy? Wow. He's such a good guy. I was talking to him. He's so fun.
I texted him. I said, Mark would like to know how you felt after smoking that joint. And he goes, I went straight to Jupiter.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's awesome.
It was a good
and
time.
And did he have like one hit? Because, you know, like the weed is different now than what it was.
Yeah, he probably had like
10 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
He probably had 2 or 3 hits off of that. But
yeah, so he was in Jupiter.
But
yeah,
he also, he hasn't smoked weed since he lived in Colombia.
Yeah.
And he also said like the weed in Colombia was not the same as what it is here.
Definitely
so he goes,
not,
I was not expecting that. And I went straight to Jupiter.
Wow.
Talk to himself.
Would he do it again?
Probably. He seems
that's
like,
awesome.
He seems like a fun guy.
That was awesome. The best part. That was the next because our kids got invited to a birthday party together, I think the very next weekend or something. So I'm sitting with him and his wife at this birthday party, and he's trying to figure out like who is this man? And so I'm showing him all the pictures of all the dudes at the party. And he goes, no, he was a little older. He had a white beard. And I like look at his wife because we're both realizing right now you were the only guy there that had a beard.
Oh,
like other than my brother has a beard, but my brother has no gray whatsoever. So I was like, it had to be you.
He was hallucinating.
It's awesome.
That's awesome.
He owes me, eh?
Yeah.
Look what I gave. Look at the gift I gave him. Oh my God.
A good time.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Do you feel that you have enough to run with now? And will we talk to you in 6 months and you're opening a salon?
Absolutely. I feel like this is a good start because that was my problem. Where to start? Because I'm like, do I go to a bank? Do I find a realtor? What do I do? But this is a really good start.
Yeah.
And nothing is stopping you from finding a commercial realtor now.
Yeah.
And that way you can get an idea of like, go see places. Yeah. Let me see what, you know, and that way, because right now, maybe we don't even know. Am I going to find a turnkey ready place that
and
just
we,
needs
and
touches?
We did talk about
am I going to have to build something from the ground up, right? And so, you know, that's always a good idea because that's just still information gathering. Just because you got a realtor doesn't mean you're ready to pull the trigger on anything, right?
Yeah.
That's just gathering info.
Gathering information is where you need to be right now.
And that would help you along with all that smart principle planning stuff because that way you have an idea. Okay, I saw this type of place. That's the kind of thing that I want to do. And then it further narrows it down. Like, okay, I didn't know what I was looking for. Well, now I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a place that's bright, lots of windows, high ceilings. I don't care if it's turnkey because I'm ready to put in the work, but I'm looking for that type of vibe, right? So,
right.
And it kind of narrows things down for you a little bit. So
don't forget, I have many friends who are designers.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Yes. That's great.
I think she's ready. So guys,
I'm
in 6
ready.
Months,
watch it.
There will be a new salon.
Well, now I'm going to message you like every other day you realize that and be like, how's the mission statement coming? I'm annoying like that. Once someone does
good.
This talk with me, then I just fucking
it's true.
He'll
be
on
you.
No, that's good. That's motivating.
Yeah.
That's
so
most people call it
annoying. Do you want people that are listening, anybody who's in the East End of Toronto like us,
do you want
people to follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can give out your socials.
Hair by Agnes. That's AGYNESS.
Thank you. I was going to say, you got to spell Agnes. No. Nobody spells your name like
Nobody.
You do. Or at least not that I've met.
Nobody.
No.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming in.
This is great. Yeah. Thank you.
Now, can I see you put my hair for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. You guys have been listening to Two Massage Therapists and a Microphone. Peace.